Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Danny and I, as you know, we're in Italy for a couple of weeks on holiday with Joe, Toby and Megan a few weeks back. And we went to different places, and all the different believers that we spent time with over there, and I think I said this last week, how much they value us here, how much they value the relationship, how much they value what God is doing, and how much they plug in, you know, whether it's the internet this morning, and there's probably a bunch of Italians watching this morning. Welcome, you guys. Hope you can understand what we're saying this morning, or somebody's translating for you. But these guys in Italy, they just love what God is doing here. They love us as a people. And I know in Germany and in other nations, there's people that just want to connect relationally. They want to connect with us as people. They want to connect with what God is doing. And so we as a church are a blessing to many, many thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people out there. And so we want to see that as serving others, and we want to take that and we want to run with everything that God is doing in that respect. So there's some kind of overall things. We can go into lots of detail, but we haven't got time to do loads of different things this morning. But Pastor Connie's just going to come for a couple of minutes and just briefly kind of share what are some of the key words that God has given over the years to Kingdom Faith.
This is an apostolic ministry. And the word apostle means one who is sent with a purpose. So God has not only called us, he has sent us. And it's important to understand the relationship between the apostle and the prophet, because we've been blessed by many people of international renown who have come through here with great prophetic words over Kingdom Faith. But all those words have only confirmed what God has said apostolically to me and to the others in leadership, because that's the role of the prophet. It's not to tell the apostle what he is to be doing. It's to come alongside the apostle and to give affirmation and confirmation to the prophetic way in which God is leading his people. You can't be an apostle unless you're prophetic in that sense. And so Kingdom Faith, both before we had the church and since, has always been a prophetic ministry. Now, what I mean by that is that God speaks to us and does things here in us and through us that he then does in the nation and beyond. If you went back over the last 30 years, you would find that time and time again, God has spoken to us, worked something out amongst us. Then within about the following 2 years, those same things have been happening all over this nation. And this is nothing to be proud of. It's simply the calling of God. This is what apostolic calling means, that God puts us on the cutting edge. It makes us the tip of the arrow. We are called to be a breakthrough people. We are called to be a governing people. Some of you can remember several prophets coming through here talking to us about governing as well as breaking through. And so what God works out here is never for us alone. It's always so that there will then be a breakthrough in other places, not just in the churches that relate to us, but in all kinds of other places too. So there's a keen sense of responsibility. And I and the other elders over the years always feel that sense of responsibility, because not only are we responsible for determining the course of events here, but we know that the knock-on effect of whatever happens here is going to affect all these countless numbers of people that actually look to us in one way or another for some sense of leadership or direction. You know, we were inundated with people wanting to know our opinion of what was happening recently in Florida. I refused to give it because I was very unhappy in my spirit about the thing. But you see, people look, say, well, what does Kingdom Faith say about this? What's their attitude? That's the kind of leadership role that God has put us in. Now, most of you, most of the time, wouldn't be conscious of that. But what we are conscious of is that it is so important for us to be obedient to the leading of God's Spirit in order that we may then fulfill what God is wanting us to do in the nation and beyond, and what he is wanting to reproduce through Kingdom Faith in the nation and beyond. Tremendous responsibility, but wonderful privilege. Now, I'm going to have to be brief, but you see, there are many things that God has spoken to me and has confirmed by all these prophetic ministries that have come through, which I may not live to see. And this is what it means about God being a generational God. Abraham did not live to see the fulfillment of all that was promised to Abraham. But the promises were passed on to Isaac, to Jacob, and so on. And, when God first spoke those promises, I thought, well, wow, how on earth can I see all of that fulfilled in my lifetime? And I may not, but they will be fulfilled because God has spoken them. And whatever God has spoken has to be fulfilled. No body, no demon, no devil, no power of darkness, no powers, spiritual powers or powers on the earth can prevent God from doing what he has purposed to do. So this is a great encouragement to us to know that if God has spoken it, he will do it. I'm not thinking of popping off in the near future. Don't think that. I've got many years to come. But you see, our faith is that God is going to move by the power of his Spirit to change the course of this nation. Therefore, we have been believing, have we not, for what God told us to believe, revival for a whole generation. Amen? And God is doing more and more of that revival work amongst us. We had such a tremendous time at camp, didn't we, this year? But, you know, God is wanting us to go on beyond what was happening at camp, and he's wanting us always to be a people of hope. Now, a people of hope are always looking to the future. We hear so much in the church about, the church generally, about faith and love, but we're also to be a people of hope. And people of hope are always positive, they're always encouraging, and they're always looking to the future. And that's what God has called us to be. And therefore, we are to encourage one another, but we're also to encourage others, to be an encourager to all the churches in this nation and in several other nations that relate to us as part of the Kingdom of Faith family, but also to be an encouragement to others generally. So it's not just a question of going over past things that God has said, but to realize we are right in the middle of the outworking of what God has said. And therefore, it's very important for us to be consistent in fulfilling the prophetic words that God gives us month by month, year by year. When we get up here on the platform and preach a message, it isn't that we've been thinking, oh, what shall we say on Sunday? It's never like that. It's always that God is speaking to us about what he is wanting to do amongst us now in order to take us one step further on in those prophetic purposes for us as a people. And so there's always a consistency Sunday by Sunday. And even when visiting speakers come, you notice how God always sends us the right person with the right time, with the right message. It fits in, slots in exactly with what God is doing here. Why? Because God is in charge of this unfolding prophetic purpose. What is this purpose? I can sum this purpose up in one word: Jesus. Our whole purpose is to be faithful to Jesus, to love Jesus, to reveal Jesus, to take Jesus out into the world, to be communicating and sharing Jesus. Whatever else is said, everything focuses around him. And, you know, we could, I gave Clive, because we keep a file of all these prophetic words, and I mean, it's a thick file like that that's accumulated over the years. And I gave it to him, and I thought, well, God bless you if you're going to read through that lot. And we could come out with and quote from all these prophecies. I don't think that's what we need to declare. We don't need to declare what others have spoken, but we need to declare today what God is saying to us as a people, right where we are now. We don't often do this kind of thing, do we? But it's good to have a Sunday like this every so often, where we realize we are all part of something much bigger than ourselves. It's not about kingdom faith. It's about kingdom faith being a part of God's purpose. God's purpose in this nation, which is just part of God's purpose for the nations. And all we want to do is to be faithful in fulfilling our part. Why didn't I say anything about Florida or anything like that? You didn't hear me mention it from the platform here. Because our business is not what is happening elsewhere. Our business is what is happening here. And when people phone me and talk to me, you know, about Florida, I just ask them this question. I said, is Jesus Christ living in you? And they said, yes. So I said, well, you don't need to go to Florida to meet with him. You just obey what the Spirit of God is telling you to do. You meet with God where you are. You don't have to go off anywhere else if Christ is living in you. Amen? And this is true for every one of us. Christ is living in us. I mean, this is a truth that he's been reawakening in a fresh way in us in the last few weeks. He is alive in us. And it's not I, but Christ. So it's not we that are going to fulfill the purposes of God. It's going to be Christ in us who is going to do it. And it's only as we trust in him and depend upon him and lean upon him that he will work through us individually and corporately. And one more thing I'll say. What God was saying in that prophetic word that we had during the worship is so important. Because God has called you to be part of kingdom faith, he has a plan for you to be part of this call that is bigger than yourself. Whatever God's call on your life, it's bigger than yourself. Amen? And whatever God is saying to kingdom faith is much bigger than kingdom faith in itself. God isn't out to promote kingdom faith. He's out to promote the kingdom, period. Amen? And we have a part in that, and we are going to fulfill that. And I just trust that what comes out of this morning is a determination in all of us. I am going to fulfill my part in God's call here so that we as a people fulfill that call that God has on kingdom faith, which is part of his call for the body of Christ in this nation and part of his purpose to take the gospel to the nations. Amen? I think you ought to stand up and give the Lord a great big clap and say, thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being part of that.
Great. Okay, just take a seat. Now, one of the what we're going to start with is the whole kind of area of prayer. Now, God has spoken to us about being a house of prayer for all nations. And, you know, we are a praying people, and there's been a lot of prayer over the years. And we have a number of people in the church that you might call more intercessors. And but God has been really, over the last 12 months or so, really speaking to us about 24-hour prayer. And God has been kind of giving us a 24-hour prayer strategy that we're kind of launching into in a couple of weeks' time. But Helen is just going to come for a couple of moments and just share some of the key things about the prayer side of it so that we understand as a church what God has said and how we're going to move more fully into really responding to what God has said about prayer and intercession. So let's welcome Helena, shall we?
Right, if I could have, I want to be joined up here by some praying people. So those of you who've been on the prayer training modules over the last year, just stand and run to the front quick as you can. You know who you are. And people that we've been asked, if we've asked you in the last couple of weeks to get involved in leading certain parts of prayer, just come up here, come up on the platform. Roslyn, you can come up as well. Anybody else, you know you're really involved within this. This is just a selection of the people. And this is Declaration Sunday, so we're going to declare some things about what God has said, but what he's doing now and what he wants to take us into. Does that sound good? Now, I'm just going to remind you of a few things that God has said. These people here are representative of part of the strategy that God is giving us to outwork the purpose. And back in 2003, God said, I will give you, Kingdom Faith, a strategy and prayer, a battle plan to take the land. If you are to exercise authority in prayer, then you need to take ownership and responsibility. It's time for rivers of intercession to flow deep into the heart of the nations. Just as the Thames estuary cuts right to the heart of London, so I will cause rivers of intercession to cut right to the heart of the nation as you pray. The riverbanks will burst and flood the land. Now, I don't think it's any coincidence that we're having a lot of rain at the moment, a lot of floods. I don't believe that that's a coincidence. And I really have this vision in my spirit of rivers of intercession as we start this 24-hour prayer, as we begin to implement the strategy that God promised to give us from heaven, that we're going to see rivers of intercession flow from within Kingdom Faith out into the nation. Can we agree that together? You can say amen if you agree with something that I say. It helps to release faith in our spirit. And this morning, we want to see a release in the spirit. I believe that. This is Declaration Sunday as we declare who we are in God, who God is, what he has said over us. Something shifts and moves in the spirit realm. Amen. And even this morning, we step into fulfilling our purpose and destiny as Kingdom Faith. Amen. 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 I'm excited. Now listen to this scripture in Isaiah 56. Foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to serve him, to love the name of the Lord, to worship him, and to keep the Sabbath, who hold fast to his covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. That was a scripture that went along with that. Nations are in your womb, because this is the call upon Kingdom Faith to affect nations. That was back in 2004. Again in 2004, God said, there are national enemies, Goliaths, that I want you, Kingdom Faith, to expose and tear down. I have given you the authority and position in the spirit, like Esther, to come before me on behalf of the people. My favor is on you, Kingdom Faith, and I will extend my gold scepter to you every time. I've called an anointed Kingdom Faith for this. Amen. I will grace and enable you to fast and to stand in the gap. This is what it means. And God has promised that he will grace us to do this. Joe, where's Joe? Can we have you on the drums, mate? We need a little bit of a something in the background here. Because when we pray, it's like we step into the arena. We step into a place where we begin to contend for the purposes of God. We begin to say, I'm on the increase, not the decrease. Amen? We're on the offensive. In Jeremiah, it says that he's called us to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and overthrow the enemies who stand over nations and kingdoms, to build and plant, to establish his kingdom on the earth. Amen. Now listen to this scripture in 2 Kings, chapter 13. It talks about the Lord's arrow of victory. And I think it was with Elisha, or is it Elijah? So let me check. Two Kings. I want to get it right because it's a important scripture. And it says here, Elisha said, get a bow and some arrows. And he did so. He says this to the king. Take the bow in your hands, he said to the king of Israel. When he had taken it, Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. Open the east window, he said, and he opened it. Shoot, Elisha said, and he shot. The Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Great Britain, over the nations. Elisha declared. He declared it. and we can declare it because God has spoken it to us. You will completely destroy the Arameans at Aphek. That's what he said. You will completely destroy them. And that's what God has called us to. Complete victory. Not partial victory, but complete victory. And there's a persistence in prayer that is needed with that. And that story goes on to talk about that. And Jesus said in Luke 18, he taught his disciples a parable about how they should be persistent in prayer, how they should keep praying. And it was of this widow coming and knocking. Knocking and knocking, crying out. And the scripture goes on in Luke 18 to say, how much more will not God answer the cry of his people who call out to him day and night, 24/7. 24/7. Amen? Okay, there's too many things here to read, but I'm just going to read one more small bit out. There is a trumpet call that is going out in the spirit to my children, to my church, to those who are listening. It's a call to arms, to take up your position in the spirit as the days of evil are drawing in. Why? Because another day is drawing near when all will hear the trumpet of my return. I have poured out my spirit upon my church so that she can stand up and declare my glory and life to all who will listen, saving those destined for heaven. So the call has gone out and is going out across the nations to my church to stand and be ready. The enemy knows that his time is short, that what is due him is fast approaching. So his fury and wicked plans are ever increasing. And he has his eye on the apple of my eye, my beloved people. Your responsibility is to stand and use the authority I have given you to hold back, to prevent, to forbid his plans, and to hasten, release, and permit my kingdom, rule, and power to be established in the earth. Amen. Amen. You can hear the heart of God, can't you? And Mark 13, 32 says that we are to be on our guard, that we are to be alert. In fact, it talks about a man like going away. He leaves his house and he puts his servants in charge, each assigned to its task. And he tells the one at the door to keep watch. Now, what has God spoken over Kingdom Faith? That we are an entrance point. We're like a doorway, a gateway for heaven. And the word says that he tells the one at the door to keep watch. And so the word says, therefore, keep watch. Watch. Isaiah 62, I have posted watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem, O Great Britain, O nations. They will never be silent day or night. You call on the Lord. Give yourselves no rest till he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. In Leviticus 6:12, last scripture, it says the fire on the altar must be kept burning. That's what happened in the Old Testament. That fire on the altar must not go out. Every morning the priest was to add firewood. The fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out. This is why we're responding to have 24/7 here. This is why it's at the heart of seeing God's purpose fulfilled and established in the nation. God has a plan and we're stepping in to be a part of that plan. Amen. Now let's stand to our feet. Joe, can we have a little bit of a kind of marching beat? And we're going to declare, I've just written out a few declarations here. We're going to declare together a few things about ourselves. And I've put it in the first person because it's about us corporately as Kingdom Faith, but just point your finger at yourself. I am Kingdom Faith. I am Kingdom Faith. Just say that. I am Kingdom Faith. That's who we are. Okay, go for it, Joe. Let's have a little bit of a... Now I'm going to repeat it, and then we're going to declare it together, okay? I have God's plan. Come on, we can say it better than that. I have God's plan.
I have God's plan.
His strategy in prayer.
His strategy in prayer.
To take the land that he has promised us. Today I take ownership and responsibility. Both individually and corporately. So that from today, I can exercise a greater authority in prayer. So that from today, I can exercise a greater authority in prayer. Rivers of intercession will flow from Kingdom Faith. As I pray, right into the hearts of the people, into the heart of the nations. I carry nations in my womb. Come on, I carry nations in my womb. When I pray, God will bring to birth His purpose in the generation. When I pray, national enemies, Goliaths, will be exposed and torn down. Like Queen Esther, I will come before the king. On behalf of the people, knowing that I have God's favor. And He will grant me what I ask. I choose to take up my position in the Spirit. To stand and be ready. I will use the authority I have been given. To see God's kingdom rule established in the earth. As a watchman on the walls. And a doorkeeper to this entrance point from heaven. I will keep watch. I will stand on guard. I will be alert. I will keep the fire burning on the altar. On the altar of my heart. And I will not let it go out. I will serve the Lord. I will love the name of the Lord. I will worship Him and obey His commands. I am a praying person. The spirit of prayer is upon me. I will be full of joy as I pray and see His kingdom come on the earth. I am a house of prayer for all nations. We are a house of prayer for all nations. Kingdom Faith is a house of prayer for all nations. Hallelujah. Come on, let's clap the Lord. Cheers. Thanks, mate. Hallelujah.
Thanks, guys. Excellent. Now, God has given us a whole strategy in prayer, and we've spoke about that back in July, and everybody got given a sheet with the whole kind of the graphic of it all, how to explain the whole thing. Now, we're going to be beginning the 24-hour prayer or the kind of moving into that in 2 weekends' time, and so it's broken down into two-hour slots for the initial 24 hours that we're going to pray, and there's information out in the hub for that, and so you can begin to sign up for that initial 24-hour prayer, and then the next one in a few weeks is going to be two lots of 48 hours over at two different points during October. We're going to build up so that by January we launch into 24-hour prayer constantly. So you can sign up today. There's going to be, in each two-hour section, there'll be two people that are going to be leading that two-hour slot each time, and they're on different emphasis that God has given us as Kingdom Faith to be praying into, whether it's local, whether it's national, whether it's international, whatever it is. But it's amazing, you know, when God gives you a strategy, it's very simple, but yet it covers everything. And that's what God has given. So you can look at the info at the back there, and we'll give a bit more next week, okay? But not this Friday, but the following Friday from 7 in the evening through to 7 on Saturday, we're going to initially have that 24-hour prayer where we're going to begin to kind of just pray through what God has called us to as Kingdom Faith. Now, the next kind of little section we want to look at is the children, okay? And so if Karen Manville and Dave Kent, if you can both come up at the same time, that'd be great. Karen's just going to share a few minutes, or briefly, or whatever, about J247 juniors, and then Dave is going to talk about the seniors. You know, one of the awesome things, the fantastic things since the church started here, and Faith Factory was the initial kind of children's ministry, and then now J247. You know, one of the things right at the heart of both Faith Factory and 24/7 is that the word is really put into the children's lives, and that their lives are built upon the word, and that their lives are shaped, if you like, by the truth, by the word, and what God wants to put into their lives. So there's a fantastic history and heritage that a lot of the children have grown up in here. But Karen's just going to share for a couple of minutes just some of the things God has said, and just the things that are really buzzing in here for the kind of noughts to six age group. So Karen.
Thank you. Hiya. Can all the juniors, children's, just stand up so we can see who we're talking about. So if you're in creche, threes and fours or fives and sixes, you can just stand up and everybody just take a look. Cool, where's all the fives and sixes? Get up on your chairs because I can't see you. Excellent. Well, there's some here today. So that's the ones that we're talking about, the little ones. Hiya. The little ones of the church. All right. So when you look at them in human eyes, they look really small. And this time of year is when they put their school uniforms on, nursery uniform, you know, things on. They just look really small. And they are small. But when God sees them, Dave, can you just hold that? Thank you. That's a person. Can you see? You might not be able to see from the back, but that represents a person. And quite small, really. But when in the book of Samuel, when Samuel goes off, sent by God to choose the new king, to anoint a new king, he goes off to Jesse and says, come on, show me your sons. And he brings the eldest first. But it's not until he gets to the youngest, David, that God says, arise, anoint him, he's the one. Okay, now I don't want you to just think that these children are the littlest, okay? Because when they've got God in them, can you please remove the lid or the hat of that child? Okay, God in them is much bigger, okay? When they have got God inside of them, okay, they are big, okay? Right, okay. Now, when you look at the children, okay, see God in them, all right? Don't just stand there. When you're, like, you could be walking around, you know, after a service, and you can chat to adults, you can chat to other people, and they can have that word just in a conversation, can't they? And it just hits you, and you're like, okay, that was from God. Or, yeah, that increased my faith. The children can do that because they've got God in them, okay? Yeah? So let's look at them, not at the outward appearance, as it says in Samuel, but look at the heart, look at God inside of them, okay? Now, there was something that we had, here we are, in the J247 Juniors Prayer Runs, and it says, I am raising up a generation that will know my heart. They shall discern my voice and fulfill my purposes. They will walk in the supernatural power of God. This is what God said about our junior children, okay? A huge part of being with those children is playing with them, is loving with them. And I can imagine Jesus, when he was here, you know, high-fiving kids, peekabooing, playing with them, you know, cuddling them, comforting them. That is a huge part of it. But as Pastor Clive said, a huge part of it as well is speaking God into their lives, getting them living in the supernatural power of God. Because when they go out to the places that we can't get to, you know, in their classrooms, in the playground with their friends at clubs, they can speak the truth into people's lives. My daughter, I was reading Mr. Bump to her the other night, and you know at the end of the Mr. Bump book, they always have a question, don't they? And it says, so next time you have a little bump, you know what to do, don't you? And she said, yeah, pray. Now, that actually wasn't in the Mr. Bump book, but that is the truth of God. And what we want our children to do, as it says here in Psalm 40, is not just to say those things in a comfortable place where they know that upstairs, yeah, we believe that, so say it. But we want them to live that, okay? So we want them to speak those truths into people's lives naturally, okay, out there in the world. And Psalm 40, 8 to 10 says, I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, as you know, O Lord. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your love and your truth from the great assembly. Okay, so we're sowing into these children week by week, and we're trying to get the truth into them and encouraging them to live that way. Yeah, to live their lives. Okay, come on. Okay? And to sum it up, actually, in worship this morning, God gave me 1 Thessalonians somewhere. Here we are, 2 verse 11. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And really, that sums it up, doesn't it? Yeah?
Thank you, Karen. A nice shock there you gave me. Are you happy to be part of this church? I'm really happy to be part of this church. I've just been sitting there and listening to different things that God said. And I think this is the best church in the world. You think that? And it is the best church in the world because it's where God's placed me and it's where God's placed you. And that's the best place. That's the best place to be where God has placed you. Hallelujah. Praise God. I've just got three things that God's really given me that we need to declare over our children this morning. And whose responsibility is it to speak the things of God over the children? Is it mine and Sally's as leader of J24/7? No, it's all of us as the church, and that's why it's so fantastic this morning. So if I can have all those from 0 to 14, if you're part of J24/7 juniors or seniors, just come down the front. You can bring a parent, just run down quickly. But it's a fantastic privilege for us to be able to speak the things of God over our children, because when God says something, then we can either just let it go over our heads, or we can say, no, I want to see that happen. And that's the same for anything. When God speaks, we can either just let it go over there, or we can say, yes, I'm going to see that happen. Yes, God, you spoke it. Come on, let's see it happen. And I don't want to miss out on anything which God has said over my life. And I know you don't. And I don't want these children to miss out on anything which God has spoken that's going to happen in their lives and in the lives of Kingdom Faith and in this nation and in the nation. So here's the first thing. God said, I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and that they shall be my people. I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart. The first thing we need to speak out is just a wholeheartedness, that God's going to give these children and all the others that relate to J24/7 and Kingdom Faith a wholeheartedness for him. That first and foremost in their lives is Jesus. They're not part of a program, just loving a program, but they're loving Jesus. So let's just stand up and just begin to speak out. Thank you, God, you've said you're going to give them a whole heart, Father. We just want to agree with your word this morning, God, that these children are going to be wholehearted, Lord. Loads around the nation that relate to us, God, a wholeheartedness to follow you. God, that they will really live Jesus 24/7. God, we speak that out as you have said it. We're going to agree with you this morning, God. Let it be so. Let it increase and increase and increase, Father, in each one of us and in the leaders as well. We speak and we believe, and thank you. You are fully able to do it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Okay, the second thing that I want to speak out that God just showed me is, and this is something God said to us. God said, it's not just to be a Sunday school, J24/7, but this is going to be a school of ministry where you release the children into the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So we don't just take them and teach them the Bible truths, although we do teach them Bible truths, but God wants for them to be released into the things that he has for them to do. God doesn't limit them, but he wants to release them. So without further ado, we're going to speak that into being as well. And I tell you, as we speak it, it will increase and God will do it more and more. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, God, that you don't want us just to play around, Father, with these children, God, but you want to see them released into what you have for them. Father, Lord, I thank you, God, there's many leaders here, God, which are going to be released, which are going to grow and grow, God, in the gifts and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for gifts of healing, God, for preachers, the people all with the whole fivefold ministry, God, released. And Lord, that we're going to see them doing things, even at this young age now, God, which is going to amaze those around us, God, and which is going to be able to bring many people in to know you, many fruit in the kingdom in the name of Jesus. Amen. The third thing which God said to us is that he wants to set up a model here with the children, which is something that can be multiplied out in different places around the world, that he's going to do something which others will look at and say, okay, I can take that on board and put that into action in my locality. So we're just going to pray for fruitfulness, that what God does here is going to multiply. Yes, it's going to multiply here. There'll be many more getting saved in Horsham and in the surrounding areas. But that also that the model which God shows us, it will be able to work anywhere and everywhere, and that it will expand out. You believe that? Okay, hallelujah. Father, Lord, I thank you for what you said, Lord, that you want to set up a model which is going to be multiplied, Lord. I thank you, God, that nothing you do, Lord, stays the same, but it always multiplies. It's always fruitfulness, Lord. And I thank you for abundant fruitfulness on this church and on the J24/7, God, that many friends of these children are going to get saved, Father, that this is going to grow, God. I thank you. Show us clear strategy of things of how you want the model to be, Lord, that it can be for ultimate fruit and glory in all the places around the world where you want this to be established. And we give you praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Thanks,
okay, I just want to read out a prophetic word that was given a number of years ago. And it just says the Lord is speaking this word concerning the children. So if you want to wait here a minute, guys, hang on. Oi! Hang on a minute. It just says here, this one of these kind of prophetic guys that have been through a number of years back, he shows me this angel that came to, he calls it the Sunday school, but the children's ministry. And this angel asked the young girl, "What do you study in your Sunday school?" All of a sudden, this child began to prophesy, began to raise her hands. Then the child began to motion as if she was laying hands on the sick and casting out sicknesses and bringing about healing. Then the angel said, "This you shall do, for this is what I have ordained." I see the Spirit of God saying, this is what is going to happen with the children. No longer just curriculums or words after words, but it's going to be spirit dimensions and practice. They're going to be so acquainted with the ministry while they are young. And God says, don't hold back the ministry from them, but get them into the ministry. Get them into what I am doing, because out of that, I'm going to be raising up many young preachers who will then begin to rise, and there is becoming a time when they'll begin to run out into many situations and begin to release my life and my power. Amen. So all of you guys down here, just look at me for a sec. God knows you. God's got his hand upon your life. Okay? God's face shines towards you. God's face smiles towards you. Okay? And you are blessed because even at a young age, you're beginning to know who God is. And God's got his hand upon your life. And there are millions and millions of people out there that don't know Jesus Christ yet. And you guys are part of a church here, but also a church all over the world, okay? That God wants to take the reality or that you know Jesus out there to the millions and millions of people that don't know him. And millions of people are looking for all kinds of things in their lives and they're not finding it. And God has called people just like you and me to take the life of Jesus out there so that other people can come to know him as well. So we're blessed by Jesus. Amen. And so God has got his hand upon your life, even at school, even at your age, to begin to encourage your friends and help them come to know Jesus. Our daughter, Megan, she, in last term, just before summer holidays, one of her friends asked her, "How do I know Jesus?" And Megan was able to pray with her and help her to come to know Jesus in the playground. That's pretty cool, isn't it? So God wants to do that more and more through your lives. Amen. So we just want to know, we're with you guys, we're praying for you, we want to encourage you to be everything that God has called you to be. Okay, let's stand, shall we, as these guys go back to their seats. And we want to thank the Lord for every one of the children that is part of the church here. It's great. Okay, time is not on our side at this moment, so we're just going to, we need to just do the other things. Alex Wozok, if you just want to come up here for a sec, and Alex is just going to share for a couple of minutes, but I just want to say a couple of things about the young people, or the younger kind of generation in the church. You know, one of the words that God gave a number of years ago is that the greatest expression of kingdom faith in the nation will be through its children and young people. And, you know, one of the things that has happened over the years, when you watch people growing up through the life of the church here, Many go on in their lives, but they're not just going on to have a career or to find something that they want to do. What seems to happen is many go out with a real sense of calling, of destiny, of purpose, because God places something in them while they're part of the church here, and as they grow up, if you like, through the church, of I'm not just here to live my life to do my own thing, but actually God's got a purpose for me, and God wants to impact other people's lives through me. And it's been awesome to see over the years how many young people have really made decisions about their life based upon what God has said to them, not based upon maybe the pressure of how the world says you must choose this, or you've got to follow this course, or you've got to follow that kind of thing in your life if you're going to be seen by the world to be anything. You know, a lot of young people have made decisions because God has said this to them, and maybe some have foregone certain career moves or paths they could have taken because God said, maybe you could do that, but my call in your life is actually to do here this and to go there. And as they've pursued that, God has opened up doors into all kinds of situations, and many gone through education and university as part of that call. But Alex is just going to, what I've asked her to do is just share a bit of the heart of what's happened to her, but also many other guys around her age in the church, just as really an example of what God has done or is doing.
Thanks. Hi. I was in Starbucks yesterday with two of my really good friends, and Sarah Montgomery is obviously getting engaged. Yay, congratulations. And she met this girl, and this girl's like, oh my goodness, that's amazing. You know, and it was really like, getting engaged, getting married, etc., etc. And then it just kind of brought us to like think about how Christian people, like our age, when you talk to them and you have just chats to them about what they want to do with their life, a lot of their vision and goal in life is to find a nice Christian guy / girl, settle down, get married, and be part of a church. Which is great. It is really, really good thing to do, and it's, you know, wonderful. But we were talking about how our just particular group of friends is just like, we've been brought up in Kingdom Faith, and we've been told, like, never limit God. God can't be put in a box, and God is in you, and therefore, you know, you're going to do great things through God that's in you. So we were just chatting, and it's just sort of gave us like a revelation of like what we're going to do. And like, it's like, I didn't go to university. I felt I wanted to. I felt like God didn't want me to. And now I just have this real heart to really like change the media. Like, just that's the media is what we all like see and hear. It's how we all think and feel. It's that it tells us what to do. And if you can get someone in there that's like just going to promote moral stuff, like how is the world going to change just because of that? You've got like, I'm just going to go through everyone. It's just my particular group of friends. Like, you've got Sarah Montgomery, and she's studying at Oxford and Christchurch to be a doctor. You've got Naomi, who's studying aerospace engineering, and she's going to do like amazing stuff with missionary charity work with that. She's going to use her degree to help people. You've got Jenna, and she wants to go out into other countries and really work with people. You've got the guys and Corey, who want to do their music stuff, really change the face of music. You know, you've got other people. There's like tons of everyone over there. Like, and as a particular group of people all over the church, it's not just them, but how really like God has given us like vision and purpose and a calling on our life. And it's like, we could have just sat down and said, and just be part of a church and just see where things go. But like, God's really spoken to us and going, just do what I tell you to do. And if you trust me, it's going to be so much better. So like, where we're going and we're headed is from a part of like, when we came into the youth at Kingdom Faith, like they've just taught us, they've been like, just don't limit God, like you can do so much, like because God is in you, and that's the way things are going to be. And like, we're going to raise up like a whole generation of like us and everyone underneath us and everyone, even just the generation above, like that are just going to rise up and really just take the world by storm, like just really, really amazing stuff. So it's going to be really exciting to see what God does, like especially with this new youth thing that we're doing. It's going to be exciting to see what God does through that in us and everyone else.
Thanks, mate. Excellent. Just want to read out a couple of scriptures. One is from Psalm 144, verse 12. It says here, "Then our sons in their youth will be like well-nurtured plants, and our daughters will be like pillars carved to adorn a palace." It's a pretty good one, isn't it? I had all sorts of bits of paper up here, and I've can't find which ones are where, so I'm just going to turn to some of these scriptures. 1 Samuel 12, verse 23 says here, As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. And I will teach you and the way that is good and is right. That's, in one sense, one of the things that for me over the years, when I was involved more directly with the young people, that was a real key thing. That there was, I felt responsibility. As for me, you know, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for them. And I think as a church, not just as parents, but as a church with our children and young people, you know, God, we don't want to fail them or sin against the Lord by failing to pray for them, but then also teaching them the way that is good and right. And so as a body, we want to really pray for the generations that are coming up, you know, in the life of Kingdom Faith, whether here or wherever they may be. And then we're going to stand in a moment, and if we could have all of the sort of teenagers, those that are here today, if you can just come down in the front, or if you can do that now, anybody that's a teenager, and some of you guys maybe in your early 20s as well, if you want to come in. Next Sunday night, we're starting our this evening meeting on a Sunday for all those that are kind of teenagers and early 20s. And part of the reason for doing that is because I really felt the first half of the year God saying, you know, he wants to mobilize this whole kind of age group and generation in a fresh way. And there's loads and loads of unsaved young people that we're reaching out to and reaching through the CAF on Friday, through the United Bus, and through other things that are going on. Lots of these guys are reaching out to their mates and unsaved friends. And, you know, these guys, in the same way that God said at the beginning of this time this morning, that he's called us to be a catalyst. You know, for revival, you know, it's the same call upon these guys to be a catalyst in their generation for the things of God. And, you know, God is doing some awesome stuff in young people all over this nation. There's something happening. There's a new generation of young people that are rising up, and there's some awesome stuff happening in other churches around the country as well, where God is just mobilizing these guys this age, really running with something fresh. And, you know, when you look at any past revival, right at the heart of that has always been a move of God in young people. That you won't find a revival where it's just been in a for a certain generation or age group, but you will find that young people have always been right at the heart of that and in the middle of that. And so we want to stand together, and we're just going to pray for these guys, okay? And as a church, we want to be like this. Far be it from us that we should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for them and not teaching them the way that is good and right. And so a lot of the words that God has given for the children and for the young people are for both the same. God doesn't just see the children as one thing and the young people as another. He sees this whole generation as a generation that he's got his hand upon, that he is anointed by his Spirit. And God is wanting to just raise up and release these guys in even more powerful and effective ways in the schools locally and in colleges and in the unis that they're at, the workplace, wherever they may be. And so these Sunday nights are going to be a great time of just release of what God wants to do in their lives. There's some interest from other churches locally saying, you know, we're really interested in coming along and just joining in with what God wants to do. And so again, we're not here just to promote the church and just to do the thing for us. We want to serve other young people in the area in any way we can and increase the relations we've already got with other youth leaders and just see how we can really unite together and work together to see God move in an increasing way in the area, across the region, amongst this generation, and just see a fresh move of God, you know, amongst young people. So let's just raise our hands, shall we, and just reach out towards these young people. Father, we thank you that you have spoken that the greatest expression of Kingdom Faith in the nation will be through the children and through the young people. Father, I thank you that you have your hand upon every one of these young people's lives. Father, I thank you for those that have grown up in the church here. And Father, I thank you for those that have just recently got saved in the last few weeks and months. And Father, we thank you just for an acceleration right now of your purposes in them and through them and everything that you want to do in their lives. Father, we thank you that you have spoken many scriptures. I'm just going to read one scripture from Isaiah 42, which God gave right at the beginning of the youth work here. And I just want to read this over your life. Isaiah 42, verse 6 through to verse 9. This is for you guys. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand and I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open up eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord and that is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. Father, I thank you for this new season. Father, I thank you for these Sunday nights, what you're going to release, what you're going to do, how you're going to move. Father, I thank you. We're just going to see you just so touch the lives of these young people, but many others, many that aren't even saved yet, as we see them come and give their lives to you. Father, we thank you just for a fresh move of your spirit amongst this age group and a great camaraderie amongst them to spur each other on, to encourage each other, that they know they're integral. They're like the lungs of this church, these guys. They're going to provide an energema and an energy in the life of the church here because of what you placed in them and what you're doing through them. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's encourage all of these guys. Cool. Excellent. Now, what is the time? Oh, it's 12:30. Okay, we just want to cover two things, okay, before we finish. One is a bit more of a general, I don't just want to call it Mercy Ministries because that sounds like a little bit need orientated, or those that, but just to use some of these things as an example, you know, there's a number of words in the different prophetic files that we've got to do with obviously the harvest, to do with the lost, and to do with certain people groups or people in need. And it's just great to see that there's a whole number of things that are going on already that are more ministries rather than individuals reaching out. But part of the harvest and part of the prophetic words in there, and a whole number in the last 6 or 7 years, really, that have come out in different ways when you read through the different prophecies about the harvest. But it's interesting, a number of them talk about the harvest not just as a mass thing, you know, like a combine harvester or a tractor, but it very much talks about the harvest being gathered in by God, but through us as individuals. That it's not just some mass thing that takes place out there and we're all waiting to see it happen. But actually, in the context of, you know, take your sickles and go out into the harvest field and reap the harvest. Not just take your tractor and mow the thing down or your combine harvester. But actually, there was a lot of, you know, personal involvement that we have in the harvest. So there was that approach, but there was also words relating to ministries starting that were going to reach different types of people. And in the last few years, a number of things have been beginning and have kind of grown and increasing. One is the storehouse, which obviously is to do with food and clothing and furniture, reaching out to meet very practical needs, but increasingly that's opening up doors into many people's lives. And I know a whole number of you involved in that, particularly Sundays and Wednesdays, where we are being able to get food from a particular supermarket in town, and we can help distribute that into people's lives. Now, Dave and Shelley Hellier are going to be heading up the storehouse, and Shelley's kind of just taking that on from this September. Michaela's kind of, I think Michaela's away on holiday, is that right? Or are you here? I think she's away on holiday at the moment, or gone away this week. She's kind of really reorganized the storehouse and set the whole thing up, put a great framework to it. And Dave and Shelley are now picking that up and are going to be running that. But that's reaching people in a certain way. Then we also have the Lighthouse, which Sue McPherson is running, and reaching kind of people with emotional needs and mental illnesses and certain of other issues that are in people's lives, and seeing a lot of fruitfulness there. Then there's the Women's Refuge reaching into mothers' lives where they're more in a kind of scenario where they're being battered or there's separation gone on there and they need refuge. And there's a whole thing growing with that kind of situation. Then there's obviously Tinsley House that's been going on for years. And over the years, there's been thousands of people that have given their lives to the Lord through not just what we've been doing, but the whole ministry there. In Tinsley House and teams that go in there every week. Also, the Child Contact Centre, which has just started, although initially it's not, we haven't started that as an outreach thing. We've started that to help children be reconnected with the parent that they don't have any contact with. And so in one sense, it's very much been seen as we want to serve people in that way, but I'm sure God is going to use that to touch people's lives and to see people's lives changed as a result. And obviously we've got the bus, United Bus, which goes to a number of villages and into the community locally during the week, touching many people's lives. And there's all sorts of things that are going on that are more organized or more ministries, if you like, that we are involved in as a church, reaching out and increasingly getting favor with the local authority and with the council and different parts of people in the local community where we're getting favor and God's going before us. And so we want to thank God for what he's doing. I know a lot of you are involved in those situations, but all of that is to do with linking with the harvest and seeing people saved. So let's just stand for a minute, shall we? We're not going to get anybody out for this and for the final one we're going to do because time's not on our side. But let's just stand. And firstly, I want you just to thank God for what is happening through the life of the church in terms of reaching many people's lives through the different things that he's been initiating. Father, we thank you for the awesome privilege it is just to be out in the community, in the region, serving people, whatever ministry we might be involved in, however we're reaching out. Father, we thank you for the words that you've given about the harvest and that it is harvest time. Father, I thank you for Little Builders as well. I thank you for all the children's for Friday Night Club reaching out. Father, I thank you for the tea dance and all the work with the elderly and the older people. Father, we thank you for the way in which you're reaching into lives, changing lives, shaping lives. Father, we thank you for an increase of fruitfulness this autumn. An increase of life of your spirit going into people's lives, being saved, people being healed, people being set free from all kinds of issues of life that are going on inside of them. Father, we thank you for release of your power at work this autumn through every ministry, through every outreach, through everything that is going on, and including that one-to-one outreach to neighbors, friends, family, work colleagues, whatever is going on. We thank you for an increase in the harvest this autumn in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Just take a seat. And finally, the last one this morning that particularly just felt we needed to just speak about was Israel and how God has been speaking to us over the last few years. There's been an increase within that. And we've had a number of trips that have already gone. There's another one going this November. We have two next year, one for 16 to 25-year-olds in April, another one, a general one, November next year. Because God has spoken to us about being a lead boat in this nation to do with Israel and helping to bring understanding to the church of a biblical understanding that God has not finished with Israel and that his purposes are all, we're intertwined with God's purposes, which includes Israel. And Israel really is the center of the world in terms of what is going on. And we want to stay true to what God has said to us in that whole area. And there's obviously many scriptures we could read from Old and New Testament. But part of the understanding that God has been giving us in a fresh way as a church is about God wanting to have one new man, both Jew and Gentile together. And those that we're building relationship with in Israel are working with both Jews and Arabs and seeing some phenomenal things take place. Many of them living their lives on the front line where they're faced with persecution, some even torture, and some have been killed because of really standing up for their faith and standing up for Jesus in those in that nation, in those situations. So very tough scenario some of these guys are in, persecuted for being believers. And we are standing with them in different ways. Financially, we're supporting a number of different churches and ministries over there. And part of the reason for taking people over there is to build relationship, is to serve these guys, connect with them, meet with them. And they're up for mission trips going out to work in different ways. But we want to bless that nation. And we want to have the right heart and understanding of what God is doing in that nation. We want to help to bring the right understanding to the church in this nation also. You know, in this nation, there seems to be mainly three stances. One is either God has finished with the Jews and with Israel, which is replacement theology, or you find that Christians are very pro-Palestinian, or sure you find Christians are very pro the Jews. There doesn't seem to be many that are really, you know, it's not about whether you're pro this, that, or the other. It's whether you're pro God's purposes. And God is on his own side, and he wants to bring everybody together under his lordship, whether Arabs or Jews or you know. And so we want to stick with God's purposes, and we want to help in any way we can serve the church in this nation to have an understanding of God's purposes for that nation. So if you just want to stand, we're going to quickly pray this morning. Sorry, it's a bit late, and I know a number of you are probably needing to go, but let's just raise our hands, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the privilege that there is, that we have to serve your purpose and to serve the nation of Israel. Father, we thank you for the way you've been speaking to us over these last few years and just bringing right to the fore, the top of the agenda for us, to how we need to be involved with that nation, to honor you, to honor the people in that nation. Father, we thank you for the call to be a lead boat in some way in this nation. However you want to open that up, Father, we want to be available to serve leaders, to give right understanding, to bring that right to thinking and heart towards that nation, towards your purposes. Father, we thank you for great favor upon us in one sense as we do that, but also as we serve the people in that nation. Father, we thank you that you do great things in the people's lives in that land. And however you want to open that and develop it, Father, we're open just to serve, to go, to be a blessing, to help serve financially, help serve by sending people, help serve in whatever way, so that we really fulfill what you've called us to in terms of the mandate you've given us towards that nation. We praise your awesome name. Thank you, Father, for the amazing privilege. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.